For some reason, hearing somebody else say that is just cracks me up every time. So welcome everybody. This is our second actual class on anxiety and how to live without it. And as you know, I am in, I don't even know what I would call it. It's not a boot camp. I think Natalie is in boot camp, but I'm in like a really high level training program for how to teach this material. Because when you're working with it 24/7, which is essentially what we're doing, you know, I mean, I'm there when she needs it. There's times where she's able to, the word we use is regulate, right? And she can monitor and know what to do. But what I'm realizing is that the way I had structured the course may not be as helpful as I was thinking. And we had a wonderful discussion the other morning. And you may be, some of you, depending on where you are in your anxiety, you know, I don't know, the roller coaster of it all, right? If it's not really intense, then this material is stuff you can kind of work with and use. If it's really intense, the questions come up, and the questions are, well, wait, when do I do this? What do I do when I feel that? What do I do when I think that? What do I do now? And so, Nat, do you even remember what the question was you asked that we did this little, our little steps?
I think I was saying I get stuck between processing it and letting it out so that I ne so it never comes back. So I'm actually dealing with it so I it goes away, and then like managing it in the moment so that I don't spin off into the depths of it.
Okay, perfect. Perfect. So let me give you a little context here because I'm not sure. Last week we kind of talked about how we're doing this between dealing with the physical brain. We're dealing with mindfulness and being present in the moment, and we're doing it with the wisdom of meditation, right? Which tells us that, yeah, there's suffering in life and, but there's a cause for this suffering. And if you can find the cause, there's a way to remove the cause and you can live without suffering, right? So what Nat is referencing is that the anxiety always, and I'm going to go out on a limb here because I think this is really, really true. It always stems from a thought. Now it may be an unconscious thought. It may be a thought stored in your memory, stored in your body. But there's a song that came out, oh, I don't know when it came out, but anyways, it's a Trisha Yearwood song. So if you're not a country music person, forgive me. But the song, the title of the song is The Song Remembers When. And the song just beautifully captures this mini little story of how this woman, she's standing at the counter waiting for the change, and music comes on. And as soon as that music came on, it's like a lighted match was tossed into her soul. It's like a dam had broken. And she goes on to say how she had worked so hard to push everything aside, to just move on, leave it behind her, forget all about it. And she completely succeeded until that music started and the song, her whole body remembered. Everything remembered. And the song then goes on to talk about, you know, it's a cute little song. If you want to find it, you know, and she talks about where that memory came from and then the heartbreak that must have happened. And the last lines of the song are, sometimes the things we bury are just meant to rise again. Because even if the whole world has forgotten, the song remembers when. And why does this matter? Because your body remembers. Your soul remembers. There is a part of you, even though you think you've forgotten it, there is a part of you that is holding that memory. Unless you let it move through at the time or processed it afterwards, it's stuck in there. It's stuck in there. And it is stuck in there by definition means you're not balanced. It's like there's this extra weight, there's this extra something in there that's working on you. And anxiety and panic are what happens when a conscious thought or an unconscious thought is triggered. That triggers all that stuff that's stuffed in there. And I meant to bring a little thing, but it's like, let's use my little vase as an example. Let's pretend that over the years, this is me, right? And over the years, I get teased as a little kid and I get told, you know, this horrible nickname, and I cry and I press it down and I determine that I'm not going to be their friends anymore. And then I go out there and I tease people, right? But that hurt is still buried in there. And then you go through all the different little things in your life that you don't understand, and you're just trying to cope as a child, as a middle schooler, as a teenager. You don't understand the world your parents, your teachers, your neighborhood, your community is living in. You understand it from a child's point of view, which is very limited. So you make assessments and you develop behaviors to, hear me, this is really important, to protect you. To protect you. Nothing you have ever done or coping mechanism wasn't done to be, you know, anything other than to protect you. You're not bad. You're not wrong. You're not ignorant. You're brilliant because you figured out a coping strategy that can help you continue to live and function. Did that make sense? Did that make sense? And so what happens is we've got layers of all this stuff. You know, when somebody, you were supposed to go out and the person never showed up, hurt, embarrassment, shame. And what we do, if we don't process, is it all just gets buried, 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 till we get to a point where this is overflowing. And we just keep pressing stuff in, pressing stuff in. And then we're trying to plant, let me find a smaller, we're trying to plant a flower. And we want this flower to grow and it can't take root. We want a life without anxiety, without fear, without hurt. And we can't, there's nowhere for us to find a clear water in the vase to keep that and flourish and nurture that lifestyle. Because this is all filled up with a bunch of gunk. And I think of it kind of like, this is my mind. It's kind of like, you know, the tar sands in Alberta, up in Canada. It's like that's organic matter that is being pressed and pressed and pressed for eons. And the oil that comes up out of these tar sands isn't pure oil. It is sticky and it's tarry and it's gunky and it's filled with all kinds of stuff. So the more we don't deal with stuff, we push it down. We're trying to live without anxiety, and we are trying to do that with all this other gunk still within us. Okay. So what Natalie is talking about is this concept that I didn't make this up. This is how it works, which is that our whole being wants to live in balance, wants to be whole. And all those things that we've stuffed in there are things that we're not looking at, that we've separated from, that we've rejected, parts of ourself. Parts of ourself. This is what's so important here. Parts of ourself. and we need to reclaim them. We need to go back. We need to look at them, hold them, and integrate all these pieces of ourself so we become whole again. Because if you are whole, you will not be afraid. When you are whole, you are not afraid. And anxiety and panic are a fear response. They are a fear response to a thought that you're conscious of, or a thought that's been buried and sublimated for a long time. So, any questions on that? Yeah.
So then if the thought can be unconscious, the trigger for it can be unconscious?
Gina, I love you. I love you. Exactly. 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 This is why when it's like it comes up and you don't know, which is the hardest part, right? It's this panic, this anxiety, the buzzing, as Nat calls it. I'm sure each one of you has your own word, the darkness. You're sitting there and you don't know. You're sitting there going, why am I feeling this way? I shouldn't be feeling this way. But you're feeling that way because here's the beauty of it. The beauty of it is that all of this stuff wants to come to the light of day. It wants your attention. It is literally begging for your attention. It doesn't want my attention. It doesn't want your partner's spouse, partner, male, female, doesn't want their attention. Doesn't want your children's attention. It doesn't want your parents' attention. Doesn't want your friends' attention. Doesn't want your boss's attention. But you think it wants their attention. So we think, I shouldn't say you, we think, so we are hurt when people aren't meeting our needs. And this is probably the key primary piece that meditation has helped me grasp, not because I understood it intellectually, but because I did it, because I was so fucking desperate. So I did it and it worked, which is I met my own needs. I paid attention to the fear. I paid attention to the hurt. I paid attention to the memory. And so in a funny way, this path out of anxiety is about having the most radically incredible, delicious love affair with yourself. You become your best friend. You become your best cheerleader. You become your lover. You love you. And we're not talking in a selfish way that, you know, where we're going to slip over into pride and narcissism. This isn't that. And it doesn't lead to narcissism. It leads to wholeness. And we don't know how to do this because our culture doesn't teach us this. I think we've talked about this. This has been such a profound turning point for me and my practice that we've talked about it in all classes. I've mentioned this before. And what I'm learning with Nat is that she'll say to me, Mom, I have to hear it 7 times before it even starts to penetrate, right? So this idea that you are going to learn how to show up for yourself. I mean, literally, write that in your notebook. It is my and only my job to show up for me. It's nobody else's job. And everybody who's in a challenging marriage or a challenging situation right now is going, what the fuck? What are you talking about, Karen? Right? And what I want to assure you is when you stop looking to everybody else to fill the holes inside you, to balance the fears and the hurts inside you, it actually makes your world better. you become much easier to get along with. You, and this is the last little piece and I'll ask for another question. When you learn how to love you, you know, Whitney Houston, the greatest love of all is happening to me. I found the greatest love of all inside of me, right? When you hit that point, when you get there with yourself, you are now actually finally and for the first time capable of loving somebody else. Because until then, you don't know what it means to love someone. You don't really know what it means to show up non-judgmentally with total acceptance and understanding and compassion for someone's story. As you do that for you, you learn what it is to be compassionate. You learn what it is to just show up and pay attention for yourself. It is truly a profound transformative path, this path out of anxiety. And so that's where we're going to. That's where we're going to. But we got a few steps along the way, and that's what we're going to talk about. What are the steps to help us get there? With the understanding that it is not a linear path. It's not like I do A, then B, then C, D, E, F. You might do A and then C. And then C, and then you got to go back and catch up a little bit of B and A, and you're kind of, it's all, everything affects everything. So before I'm talking a lot right now, but I would like to know, are there any other questions or comments or clarifications on this? Because it's on one way, it's radical. It's radical. You all with me then? Oh, Ramon. Yeah.
Over time, do you start to notice with the trigger, just your earlier point, do you start to notice what the triggers are? Because I noticed for me, I could be in the same situation with different people and it just comes up with those people or with that group. But other times I'm 100% fine. So is there a way to kind of say, well, this is the situation that I got to watch out for because this is the situation that's going to probably bring this up for me?
Well, that's a very deep question, Ramon, and I'm going to answer it, the answer you're looking for, and then I'm going to answer another part of the question, which is what you don't want to hear, okay? But I'm going to tell you anyways. So, yes, you're absolutely right. It's different situations, different people trigger differently. You can be in the same situation with this person, you're fine. Same person with this situation with this person, you're not fine. Will you learn to know? Yes, you will learn to know. But how are you going to learn to know? You're going to learn to know by becoming more aware and conscious. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And so, yes, you will. But rather than saying to avoid that trigger, right, which we're going to do now, at this stage of the process, we're going to assume we're all kind of at the beginning levels of this. Do not take on any triggers. Stay away. Just stay away. It's like if you had broken your wrist, right? You wouldn't be lifting up heavy things until the wrist healed, right? And what you've all done, it's like by taking this class, you have made almost like a sacred connection with that deeper part of you and said, I want to be whole. I want to be free of fear. I want to be able to live a life where I am engaged and present and I can enjoy it. I can taste the water. One of the quotes I wanted to share with you is from a Buddhist monk named Shunryu Suzuki. Once you start walking down this path, there's a lot of quotes from Suzuki, okay? And it says, if you can taste the water you are drinking, you will be okay. If you can taste the water you are drinking, you will be okay. And I would just like, on your own, just write that on a nice big sticky and put it on your fridge, right? Put it on your mirror in the bathroom in the morning. If I can taste the water I am drinking, I will be okay. Because if you're obviously right, if you can't taste the water, it doesn't mean you have COVID. It means you are not in the present moment, right? It means you're not in the present moment. And if you are in the present moment, what we learn, what we are learning is that in the present moment, unless there is literally a tiger or a terrorist at your door. Actually, you know, I should start saying tiger and start saying terrorist because that's our modern metaphor, isn't it? It's a horrible thought, but you know, that probably the thought of a tiger at our door doesn't evoke the same sense of as a terrorist because terrorist is more real for us. So I may consider that. Anyway, unless there's a terrorist at your door or like in Florida, there's a building literally collapsing around you. You're okay in the present moment. You're okay. So what we want to entertain this thought, I don't want to force it on you, but I'm going to put it out there as a something to consider working towards is this idea that once your wrist is healed enough that you can go back out, right? I mean, not now, not now. So Ramon, you have total permission, not now. But eventually, when this happens, instead of thinking, how can I protect myself from this, which is what you've been doing for decades, which is what has fed the anxiety and the panic, trying to protect, we become more and more controlling of the world around us, trying to protect and avoid and not get ourselves into these situations, right?
Yeah.
How many of you wake up in the morning with a bit of dread, a little bit of, right? Exactly. So what we're going to shift to is that these situations are what are bringing us the message of what's out of balance. It's actually a positive thing. When you get triggered, it's showing you an imbalance in your soul that is begging for your attention. So it's not about the other person at all at this point. It's about little by little getting enough awareness where you go, whoa, what is really going on here? This isn't about Josh. What is this really about? And we pay attention. And that's what we're going to learn to do. We're going to learn to pay attention and then show up for what needs to be showed up for. Okay. Did that answer it, Ramon?
Yeah. The only issue with me is that I deal with this is for some part of my job. So actually I deal with it. I have to deal with it every day.
Oh, you have to deal with it. Okay. Then let's do it this way. It's like, yeah, you're in the fire.
Which is fine because the pranayamas, all that stuff that, and all the stuff we've been doing on Mondays has really helped balance it. Cause I know when I'm going into those situations, so I do those things beforehand. But when I go in there, I'm ready for it. So I'm kind of, you know, I'm aware.
Nice.
You know, that I practice non-resistance and kind of not, you know, trying to focus, not to focus on the end result and just kind of get through it. So, so until we move further into the course, that's the way I'm managing it. So
that's excellent. Excellent. And so actually I'm going to take this moment. Gina, would you be willing to share your story about the horse ride, the trail ride?
Yes. Yes. I'm definitely willing to share. I feel like it's not as, it seems other people are going through a lot more, it seems like. But I have a horse and I trail ride, and it's number one, it's a huge financial investment. And number two, it's a huge part of my social life, but I experience extreme anxiety on the trail, which is not comfortable. It's so uncomfortable. And I've thought about no longer keeping a horse. On one instance, I actually got off my horse and walked, which I said I will never do again. But this last week, I went on a trail ride with two other people, And prior to going, I did some of the, I did like the halo hold and I did the index finger hold and I did some of the deep breathing. And I did it without expectations. I just kind of did it to get ready for the day. And when we got to the trailhead, my horse and I actually took the lead, which I don't often do. And she isn't much of a, she's not a leading horse. But we did. We took the lead and the trail ride was, it was more than an hour. And we led through some trails that have been very overgrown. And I was so relaxed. I did not experience that anxiety. I didn't experience that. And I know you've all had anxiety where it's like, I can't wait for this moment to be over because, you know, it's like, sometimes it's like, I just want to, I want the ride to be over. I want to be in the car. I want to be able to go, I did it. But I never experienced that, not once. And I was really able to thoroughly enjoy this entire, I mean, we just walk. It's not like we're out racing anywhere. We walk and, but I just enjoyed it so much more than I have in a lot of times.
Yeah, Chris. Thank you, Gina. Thank you, Gina. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. That just made my heart just big smile when you sent that email.
Oh, thanks.
Cause it's a victory. That's a victory.
It was a victory. It was a victory. Yeah. It was a victory for me.
Yeah. Yeah. Chris, yes.
I wanted to ask Gina a question about that. You said your horse doesn't usually take the lead and I'm wondering, could your horse possibly have felt a shift within you? And then your horse was then more relaxed and more.
Yes. Yes, exactly. That is exactly true. And there's been many times I thought, well, she's not going because I've had her for a long time. And I think that we're very bonded in our relationship. And a couple of you know my horse. But yes, I did feel that she was relaxed because I could be relaxed and she was, cause she'll be real hesitant sometimes if she's in the lead and she wasn't, she was just like very energetic, very let's go. Let's, you know, and I do thank you for recognizing that, but I think that's true. Yes.
Thank you. Yeah. So this is important. What Ramon is talking about, what Gina's talking about is at this stage, we're trying to just find a few things we can do that we don't do in the moment. What Ramon said, he does it beforehand. Gina did it beforehand. So we're starting to become aware and comfortable of a place inside us that feels calm.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And we're starting to build an awareness of that. And so I'm going to encourage you to, I think Evan, we edited out that first meditation we did on Monday night and in the 7 o'clock class. And it's about 18 minutes, but that includes a meditation at the end for the happy place, being in your safe place. But so you could just start it. It's on there as its own little thing and just, I can't remember what I called it. I called it something like, never mind. I can't remember. My brain's not there. But, you know, just a few minutes of this, right? A few minutes of this, a few minutes of this, a few minutes of this. If you want to go in, you know, just to establish it as a new baseline for yourself. Okay. But so let me share with you, let me minimize this. I'm going to share with you what Nat and I did when she had asked me that question. And let me find it first. And it's very rough. It's just written on a whiteboard. Where is it? Where is it? There it is. Okay, so hang on. The Zoom is great in many ways, but it's hard to sometimes There we go. Do you see this picture right here? Can you see this? Can everybody see this? So let me make it a little bigger for us. This is, Nat was sitting there asking me these questions. What do I do? How do I know when I'm, when a thought is coming in, if a thought is the source of my anxiety, and yet, and I'm just trying to kind of not feed the thoughts and stay in the present moment. How do I know I'm not suppressing and burying things, right? How do I know when is what and when to do what? And so it occurred to me that probably what's more important for us is to discuss these are the stages and that we want to kind of build some skill with. And you're still maybe even ready, many of you, some of you, to start doing all of these things. But let me give you the bigger map today instead of breaking it down like I was going to, where we're going to go kind of week by week and then at the end pull it together. The first thing you want to do if you are feeling anxious, the very first thing you want to do is regulate. What does regulate mean? We'll talk about it in a minute. What I'm going to do is leave this here so you can take some notes. I'm really going to encourage you to make a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 and leave a lot of space in there so you can, this is us starting to make the map. And it's not the map I thought I was going to give you. This is going to be a better map. Okay. So 1 is regulate. 2 is allow. Allow. 3 is investigate. And the number 4 is a choice point. Just call it choice point. And from at 4, depending on what you are experiencing, depending on how things are going, you will choose a different technique or a different thing to do. And then number 5 is nurture. Number 5 is nurture. Okay? And so let's start. Okay, I'm gonna, I can't see everybody when I do this, so I'm going to stop the share for just a moment and see if there's any questions. Was everybody able to see that? Yeah. And everybody's got all 5 on written down somewhere. Okay, okay, so 1, regulate. 2, allow. 3, investigate. 4 is a choice point. And 5 is nurture. And those of you who have done RAIN will recognize some of that in here, right? So this isn't, we're not replacing RAIN. There's a place for RAIN. This is specifically for anxiety, what we're doing here. RAIN is for dealing with any kind of intense emotion. Okay. And anxiety is its own world and fear and panic. Okay. So 1, regulate, 2, allow, 3, investigate, 4 is a choice point, 5 is a nurture. And here's why I'm really pushing to have you write this down, because the whole point of this course is for you to know what to do. And have the skill to do it in the moment. Because it's one thing to know it. It's another thing to do it in the moment, right? I mean, when you're in the middle of it, it's kind of hard to be going, okay, I do this, this, this. It's like, it takes a while for you to really internalize what to do. And chances are the trigger, like Ramon's at work, Gina's on the trail, you're not going to have your piece of paper with you right there. Right? Telling you what to do. So what I want to talk about today, just a little bit, mostly about regulate, because that's what we're going to really understand is what it means to regulate. We'll talk a little bit about the others, just so that you've got the lay of the land. How does that sound?
Good.
Sound good? Okay. Any questions about that? Anything you want me to repeat before we move forward? Okay. Then I'm wondering, should we go for like 5 or 10 minutes to take a break, or do you, or should we take a break now and then just go straight through? What's, I can't quite get your temperature from here on my Zoom. I can't hear you, Gina. Yeah.
Let's take a break and come back.
Okay. So let's do that. We've kind of had the big intro. We kind of know what we're going to do. Outline, broad outline. Let's take just 5 minutes, go to the bathroom, get a cup of tea, a cup of coffee, and I'll see you back here at, it's now, well, let's say 38 at, okay, at quarter till. Wherever time zone you are, we'll come back at quarter till. Okay. All right, folks. See you then.